Equipping the saints with sound biblical instruction. This is K-Wave 107.9.
Well, hello and welcome to Pastor's Perspective, brought to you by Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, sponsored by Biola University, ranked as the most comprehensively Christian university in Northern America. I'm Phil Ross in for Brian Perez today here on Friday, April 26th. So glad you could make it. Thank you for watching on our live stream on our Facebook and YouTube channels and on our flagship station's website, kwave.com. And welcome to our friends, of course, who are listening on our partner radio stations and around the world on the K-Wave app. And you can submit your questions today on our Facebook and Instagram pages and on our flagship station website, kwave.com. And but always, the best way to get your question answered is to call in now on 888-564-6173. And in the studio here for this Friday edition of Pastor's Perspective, answering your questions is Pastor Brian Broderson, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and of course, Cheryl Broderson. Welcome.
Thank you.
How are you doing? What's new and exciting?
Well, Brian just got back from Colorado, right, Brian?
I did, yes, and that's exciting because I'm home now.
And it was exciting that you got to fellowship with so many godly guys, got to pray together, got to seek the Lord.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
It was really good.
And got to eat deer stew.
No, elk.
Oh, elk stew.
Elk stew, yes.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a guy named Stew, and you're just calling him deer stew.
No. Yeah. No, our friend who hosted our gathering at his church, him and his son are hunters, and his son
shot
an elk. And so we got to eat the elk, and there was a chef in the church who just, you know, had this recipe for it. I've had elk and venison and all of that, and I'm normally not like, hey, give me a slice of venison, you know, but I mean, I'll eat it. Uh-huh. And the same is true with elk, but this was surprisingly the best elk I've had. It was not
gamey,
as you would expect.
Years ago, I remember we went to dinner
at
my dad's house. My dad was famous for serving whatever people gave him. Whether it be abalone or bear or whatever was in the refrigerator, you know, God provides. Yeah, Jehovah Jireh, here we go, ostrich, that's right.
Yeah.
And so this one night he was barbecuing and he brought it all in. And my dad loved to have family over, just absolutely loved it, you know, always saying, oh, stay for dinner. And so there we were, all our kids, and my dad went out to the barbecue and he barbecued. And he poured so much barbecue sauce on each of what looked like filet mignons, little round steaks. Just an abundant amount of barbecue sauce. And I said, Dad, are those filet mignons? And he got this look that went across his face, a look of guilt. And he said, filets? Yeah. And there was something in that something's wrong with that answer. And I remember we sat down and I took a big bite and I felt a herd of elk. I felt it and I smelled it and I tasted elk just running through my mouth. And I guess I had some kind of look because my mom looked at me and all of a sudden exclaimed, Chuck, you're feeding us the elk. And everybody pushed their plate away at the same time, except for my father and my son-in-law, Michael, who loves anything that's protein.
Yeah. Well, you would have been, if you would have been served a dish of this,
I would have known.
You would not have known.
No, I'm a taster, Bri. I can taste even the tiniest bit of fish or fish sauce.
This is
true. Would know.
This is true.
I would know. I would have like, oh no, here they are. They're stampeding again through my mouth.
Yes, you probably would have.
Yes.
Isn't it odd? The more amazing, exotic meats that you might eat.
Yeah.
The closer they taste to fried chicken, the better the quality.
Yep. Isn't that the truth?
Well, that is the measuring
it
stick
really is.
For
yeah.
all strange meat. It's it's just like chicken.
Rabbit. Yeah.
But usually you hear rabbit, frog legs, and rattlesnake.
Rattlesnake.
Yeah, they all taste like chicken.
Yeah, greasy.
Like, give me the chicken.
Greasy chicken. They taste like greasy chicken.
Let's just save
chicken.
Time, yes. Save the environment, and let's go to the kernels.
And let me tell you, who has told us this? It's our son-in-law, Michael, who loves protein and has had it all.
Yeah.
In fact, years ago in Florida, he went to college in Florida and he came home and he said, Dad, did you know that the rattlesnake is an endangered species? We're not supposed to kill it. And his father said, well, when they're on our property, they're definitely endangered. So his father's with the Lord, so he's totally safe. You can't find
him. One other.
Michael story?
Food, no.
Food story.
We were just in Peru, as some mm-hmm. of you would remember, because you've heard us talk about it. But you know, a delicacy in Peru is, now, brace yourself, anybody who's had a, that might have been a pet, guinea pig.
Guinea pig.
Guinea pig is a delicacy.
Guinea pig.
Guinea pig.
I didn't touch it.
Yeah.
Is there any meat on a guinea pig?
Well, you would wonder, wouldn't you? You're like, what do you eat? You know, the fur and the bones? I mean, you know, it doesn't seem like there's... Yeah, no, it's a serious delicacy.
Yeah, but you wouldn't eat the fur. Seriously. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, like, you don't... Hey, where do you find the meat on the thing? Like Phil said, you know, where do you find the meat?
Definitely on the thigh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take some thigh meat on my guinea pig, please. Yeah, yeah. That's, give me the dark meat, please. Yeah. All right. Well, please call in if you have. What exotic foods have you eaten? What exotic animals have you eaten? And how are you feeling now? We'd love to know. Call us today on Pastor's Perspective. The number to call 888-564-6173. Again, that's 888-564-6173. Shall we take a look at one of our Facebook questions?
Please do. But I just want to say that, you know, even some of the kosher food is a little exotic. Mm-hmm. I mean, like locusts.
Yeah.
Where's the meat on that?
No, it's not. It's kind of like, you
crunchy.
Know, it's just crunch. Yeah, you like the crunchy part of it.
Yeah, I was reading through Leviticus and God was saying, okay, you can eat locusts. I go, why?
Yeah. Well, I have friends that, you know, because what they do is they deep fry them and sometimes they cover them in chocolate. And then sometimes they're just, you know, they're covered like with garlic.
Have
and
I ever
like,
met these friends of yours?
Yes, you
okay,
have.
Okay, don't mention them. I don't even want to know that about them.
Well, anybody who's lived in Africa
okay.
Has
okay,
experienced
well, then I do locals. Like these people.
Well, if they're deep fried, did they taste more like chicken?
No, they kind of just, I'm just
nutty.
Guessing because I haven't tried them. Yeah. I think they're just crunchy like, you know, they're kind of almost like a potato chip or something.
Oh, wow, yeah. Okay.
I mean, they're really crunchy.
Yeah, my Sunday school class on Sunday.
Yeah.
The six-year-olds, they were talking about the most exotic things that they've eaten. And I had one boy bragging that he's had chocolate-covered ants, chocolate-covered grasshoppers. And I asked him, did you know it when you ate it? And he's like, he said he did, but I don't know. Because, you know, six-year-olds are prone to exaggeration.
Yeah, chocolate-covered ants, that's a problem to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just
I heard they're spicy.
I could do grasshoppers before I could do ants.
Yeah. Okay.
I could do heaven before either.
All right. Okay. Well, let's look at Brenda's question. She wrote this in on Facebook and very much a question about what's going on in the news right now. Mm-hmm. Brenda writes in and says, I have a question about the ongoing war in Israel. As believers, we're told by Jesus to love our enemies. She says, I'm deeply distressed by the numbers of people killed in Gaza. We all can safely say that not all of them are Hamas. As believers in the inerrant word of God, we know God gave the land to Israel, but how are we to stand with Israel and mourn with the Palestinians at the same time? I want Israel to have its place and Palestinians to have their place too. Please give me your thoughts.
I think that she said it all. That's exactly it. We have to be for both. And I think when you say I'm for peace, you know, and I think about how Jesus said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but there will be no peace without the Messiah. And I think what we have to do is just say, Lord, come and, you know, work in this situation. We have people on both sides that we know of that were Christians that have died on both sides. Mm-hmm. And we mourn the loss of both. We've had ministry into Gaza and we've had ministry in Israel. And to us, the whole thing is tragic. But I do think you have to go back to who caused this. Who brought this about? Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for the Hamas, if it wasn't for their greed, if it wasn't for their aggression and desire to wipe out Israel, none of this would happen. So I think what we have to do is say, Lord, you come and get yourself glory. You know, it says that in the end times, there'd be perplexity of nations with no way out. And I think we're at one of those perplexing places where there's no easy answers, no easy way out. And I think as Christians, the best thing we can do is to pray. Pray for everybody, you know. Pray, Father, come bring salvation somehow. Make the name of Jesus known and, you know, adored through this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I mean, that you know, that's true. Of course, we pray congregationally on Sundays. And, you know, a few weeks ago when the Islamic Republic of Iran, you know, launched those missiles and drones and all of that, that was a big deal. And, of course, we prayed for Israel's protection in that specifically. And, you know, some people will say, well, okay, why didn't you pray for the Palestinians? And you know, we do. We pray for both. Like Cheryl said, we know we have friends who are Palestinian. And so we want to be sensitive to the reality of what's happening among them. But I think, you know, there's so much confusion and craziness in the culture right now. This makes it a little bit difficult because there's so much misinformation out there. Of course, when you hear that Israel is, you know, that they are colonizers and that they're committing genocide and things like that, that's where you just have to push back and say, no, 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 this is not a genocide. As a matter of fact, I saw the other day, this was pretty fascinating because the numbers, and it's not to take away from the fact that people have died, but, you know, the numbers have been questioned about the how many civilians have died in Gaza and so forth. And there was a bunch of different things flying back and forth. And, you know, it was up as high as 35,000 or something like that at one point. Well, finally, and interestingly enough, since Gaza is under the authority of Hamas, they finally put out an accurate accounting of the number of deaths, and it was far below what had been being said before, and it put Israel in this place where, now this is a war, so in a war, civilian casualties are inevitable. It is inevitable. You can't prevent it. It's just what it's
well,
just what's going to happen.
Hiroshima. Think of Berlin,
yeah,
and you know
all of those things.
All of
yeah.
Those, yeah.
So anyway, but what it you know the numbers finally came out, and I think the number, not counting the Hamas, I think the number ended up around 9,000 civilians,
which still
put the ratio of 1.1%, which took it to the very lowest numbers in context of war. And so I you know, people deny that Israel is trying to be strategic. They're not targeting civilians. You know, people say that this is where the genocide claim comes in. But so I think we have to rightfully push back against that. That's not to say that the 9,000 civilians that died, it doesn't mean anything. It just, this is the reality of the world that we live in and have always lived in. This is what happens in a war. So, yeah, it's sad. So we want to keep that perspective that people are suffering on both sides, and Lord have mercy.
You know, it is interesting, though, because Jesus said that Israel would be like a stumbling stone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's interesting because before the war started, I thought, wow, it's interesting because, you know, we're more focused on, you know, Russia and the Ukraine right now, which there have been, you know, more casualties in the Ukraine than, mm-hmm. you know, in yep. Gaza or Israel combined. And yet the focus has been taken completely off the Ukraine mm-hmm. and what those people are going through and yep. suffering mm-hmm. to totally about Gaza. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm saying that our focus should be for anyone dying without Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, was it Hudson Taylor that was saying way back, and this was in the late 1800s during the century, there were 100 Chinese people dying every day without Jesus mm-hmm. in China. And that was just from the conditions of starvation yeah. and famine.
Well, that would have been more like 100 every minute, not
every
day.
Minute. It was, but he said, we cannot allow these people to go into a Christless eternity. Yeah. We've got to go and share the gospel with them. Mm-hmm. So I think, as believers, we have to pray, oh, Father, you know, show them Jesus. Show them Jesus, because there's a whole nother world after this one. And this world is, somebody said, I think it was my father said, this world is the closest to hell we will ever be for Christians. Mm-hmm. But it's the closest to heaven that those who are going to hell will ever be. Mm-hmm. And I think when we keep that in mind, that we want these people to know Jesus, and it's about the life afterwards. One more thing, and then I promise we'll move on. But Lillian Trotter, who was a missionary in Tangiers back in the early 1900s, she had a phenomenal ministry where they evangelized the Muslim people. And every person they evangelized was murdered in an honor killing. And she at one point said, you know, Father, when they're being murdered like this by their own family and their own people, should we continue to evangelize? And she heard the Lord say, if you could see them right now in glory with me, you would continue your work. So I think we need to keep an eternal perspective, and we need to pray for the salvation, first of all, and then secondly, for peace.
I was just going to ask you, for people who are feeling kind of helpless as they read the news about Hamas and Israel and also Ukraine, and they're involved in prayer groups, how would you advise people to be praying right now?
Yeah, I think just, you know, I mean, praying for a cessation of the hostilities is really what needs to happen. I think it's very reasonable to suggest that a ceasefire is easily within reach if there's a return of the hostages and if there is Hamas laying down their weapons. But of course, Hamas doesn't want to do that, and you know, it's a very difficult thing. So I think, I mean, in some ways, I think you just pray, Lord, help. You know, God, you know. And so it's very difficult. On a different but a related note, I was meeting with a guy today, and this has more to do with kind of all the protests and the things that are going on, you know. He was telling me he lives in South Africa, and of course we have friends in South Africa as well, our good friend Julian and Monica. But he lives in a place called Jeffreys Bay, which is a famous surfing town. And anyway, but he was telling me how in South Africa, what's happened as of late is violent gangs have kind of taken over a lot of the country, you know. So they just come in with machetes and hack people to death, and it's just horrible stuff. So there were a number of killings around this area in the bay, and they planted a church there. They turned the church over to a local guy, but they're still involved in it. And the guy I was with today, he's been out of the country. He's been traveling for a while. So he gets word, like, there's a bunch of killings going on. The gang is out of control and all of this stuff. So the pastor says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go camp out at the doorstep of the gang leader until he repents and comes to faith. He camped on his doorstep for 2 weeks and shared the gospel with him. The guy repented and came to faith.
Wow.
So I'm thinking, well, this is a strategy that maybe people aren't thinking, but these people need to get saved.
They do.
That's what they need. Yeah. And, you know, I was watching some interviews with these kids on the campus of Columbia University in New York. And I mean, they were literally, they didn't even know what they were protesting. They were asking them, so, you know, what with Hamas and
what's the answer?
And they said, well, you know, we're not sure. We probably should be a little more educated. And then the one turns to her friend and says, what do you think? Do you know anything? Oh, no, I'm not really sure either. So they're just out there caught up in the whole, you know, excitement or whatever it is of the mob mentality. They don't even really know what they're doing out there. How many are like that?
Oh, countless.
Well, you think of, you know, remember when Paul was...
Paul the Apostle, right?
Yes, that guy.
We're not talking about a friend that we know named Paul. I just want to make sure. Just clarifying.
Was it in Ephesus when they had
the riot?
Raidist
Diana of the Ephesians.
And it says that most of the people didn't even know why they were there. And you think, that's a mob. Most of the people don't even know why they're there.
Human nature.
It is.
Human nature. Well, Brenda, thank you for sending in your question on Facebook to Pastor's Perspective. We'd love to get your phone call today. If you have a question about what's going on in the world, world, how you should be praying. Do you have a question about Christ, Christianity? Even if maybe you might have some doubts about the Christian faith, and you have might even say, here's my biggest problem with Christianity. If you have a question like that, we'd love to talk to you today. The number to call is 888-564-6173. Again, that's 888-564-6173. Brian and Cheryl Broderson in the studio to answer your questions. Let's go to the phone right now. We've got Karen calling in from Oceanside. And Karen, I just want to say welcome to the program. There we go. I just click on your thing there. And how are you doing today, Karen?
I am great. How are you two doing?
Great. Thank you.
And what's your question?
Okay. At 17, I got pregnant and had an abortion and regret that decision. And just wondering if the aborted babies go to heaven, and if they do, are we reunited with them?
Karen, first of all, you are white, you are clean through the blood of Jesus Christ, and the Lord does not hold that against you. And I believe that that baby, being an innocent as it was, is in heaven. And I think we're going to see so many children when we get up there. And Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you will not enter into heaven. And I think heaven is just filled with children. And I really believe you'll be reunited, maybe even introduced by Jesus. Would that be just the best? So, Karen.
Well, I so appreciate you guys so much.
Thanks.
And I listen to you every day on my way home from work. And I couldn't be more happy that it's you too, Brian, and it's
Cheryl.
I love you guys. No. So
thank
much.
You so much.
Thank you, Karen.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in today, Karen. Lord bless you. And again, please give us a call today at 888-564-6173 here on Pastor's Perspective. And we have another call on the line here, and we have a few lines open right now. Arnie calling from Colorado. Good afternoon, Arnie. How are you doing this afternoon, sir?
Hey, my name is Ernie, but...
Ernie.
Oh,
okay. But can I call you Arnie? No, okay, I'm just kidding, Ernie. Sorry about that.
Whatever you want, but the next mile and a half, I'm going to have bad reception. So can you take another call and call me right back?
Okay.
Well, you got to call us right back, because we can't call you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll stay on the line then.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Ernie. Sorry about that. That'll give us time to correct my spelling on here. So I think I can do that.
Oh, there they did.
Yeah. Yay. Okay. Yeah. All right. And let's. Here's another question that came into us through Facebook, and it comes from Wanda, and she wrote in a Genesis question about Noah and Ham. She says, please explain why Noah cursed his son Ham when he saw Noah naked. What was the sin? Or were children not to see their parents in their nakedness in that time? Just looking for some clarification there from Wanda.
Well, we're also told that he mocked his father. When he went out and told his brothers, he was demeaning and dishonoring his father. And if you remember, the other two brothers went and they covered him. Mm-hmm. And so what you see is exploitation and taking advantage of his father's weakness and his father's nakedness. Mm-hmm. And what he did was...
it was disrespectful.
It was, among other things.
In a culture, a patriarchal culture, where the father of a family was like, you know, sort of like a king, you were to give the utmost honor to your father. And so what... Ham did was highly dishonoring to Noah. So that would be the issue. But then the question is, cursed be Canaan. Mm-hmm. So that's the one where you're kind of trying to figure out, okay, Canaan is a descendant of Ham. Mm-hmm. So why does the curse pass on to Canaan? And then there's all kinds of confusing and crazy speculations about that as well. The Canaanites, though, those who inhabited the land of Israel before the Israelites came in, they were the descendants of this person, Canaan. So,
and they seem to have taken after him, because in the respect of, I think that the reason Ham's sin was grievous is because by disrespecting his father, he was disrespecting the God that just saved them. Mm-hmm. Because God is a father figure. And so, you know, it was God that wanted him to respect. And then when it came to the Canaanites, they were the first idolaters, mm-hmm. the ones to really move away from serving God and to, you know, their mm-hmm. sins, mm-hmm. you know. Disgusting, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Well, thank you for sending that in, Wanda. Appreciate it. We have some lines open right now today on Pastor's Perspective. Brian and Cheryl Broderson are answering your questions here, and the number to call is 888-564-6173. That's 888-564-6173. Give us a call.
I was thinking I need to memorize that because I know you've got it memorized, don't you, Brian?
888-564-6173. Yep, I do.
You probably should say it slower if you're
going to No, you got to say it fast. I mean, that's the radio way, you know. 888-564-6173.
You just have it on speed dial then, right?
Yeah, exactly. Ed Stetzer's trying to memorize it, but he's, you know, he's lagging behind a little bit. He's, you know, got to get his act together.
Yeah, he needs more stuff to do. The guy's just not busy enough.
That's I told Ed, and he took this as a great compliment, that he is the most amazing multitasker that I've ever known, and he really is that. But apparently he does have one Achilles heel, and that is memorizing the phone number for the radio station. So
you know, I find as I get older, though, that multitasking, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I used to be able to do it, but when you start asking me all those questions about where things are and I'm trying to make dinner, it's just like, give me 2 minutes just to get this one step done, making this roux and adding these vegetables just right at the right moment, and I will get back to you.
Yes. Well, I met a guy today, first time we've ever met. We have literally like 20 friends in common. But some of the friends we have in common go back, you know, 25 years or so. So we're sitting there talking and, you know, different names would come up and I would find myself like, okay, I know this name. What's their last name again? You know, and thankfully he's younger so he could remember everybody's name. But it's like, wow, you know, you really, you know, there's something
it's
in the memory thing.
It's kind of this random delete
yes.
process.
Yes.
Kind of like your computer.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know what my computer has done with half my files. I think it just said, you don't need this anymore.
Okay. That's right.
Same thing with my brain.
Well, maybe we've got time to answer just one more quick question from another patriarchal question, I guess you might call it. Neela wrote in on Facebook, and she asked about 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 35, this is from the NIV. She even wrote it out for us. Until the day Samuel died, he did not go to see Saul again, though Samuel mourned for him, and the Lord regretted that he made Saul king over Israel. And Neela asks, can you please elaborate on that last sentence? I know I'm missing something she says here, because God doesn't make mistakes. So why would he regret that he made Saul king over Israel?
That's a really good question.
Mm-hmm. What do you say?
Well, I think it has to do with the word regret, mm-hmm. in that God's not like, oh, man, I really made a mistake.
Yeah, I really blew that one.
Yeah. He is saying more, Saul, I think the responsibility is on Saul. Saul was given every opportunity in the world, but he refused every opportunity to really be all that he was meant to be. And what you see with God is he's an equal opportunity employer. He gives all of us these equal opportunities. Like Judas was one of the 12. He had the same exposure to Jesus. He had the same experience. But you would probably hear Jesus say, I regret that I made Judas a disciple, although he doesn't say it. But the idea, you know, Jesus said, have I not chosen you 12, yet one of you is a devil? Mm-hmm. And yet Jesus still chose him and still gave him every opportunity. Mm-hmm. So when it says, because you get the same word regret in Genesis, when God is speaking to Noah, that he looked and he regretted, mm-hmm. you know, man. But it was more he regretted the estate of man, mm-hmm. than he regretted his work toward man.
Yeah, what man had become.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, don't go away from this Friday edition of Pastor's Perspective regretting that you didn't call in. The number to call is 888-564-6173. Brian and Cheryl Broderson are answering your questions today, and want to let you know that Pastor's Perspective is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, and we're very thrilled that it is now sponsored by Biola University, ranked as the most comprehensively Christian university in North America. How about that? I'm Phil Ross. Join us for the second half of Pastor's Perspective. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple moments. And we're back for round two of today's edition of Pastor's Perspective, brought to you by Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, sponsored by Biola University. Course ranked as the most comprehensively Christian university in North America. I'm Phil Ross, an APU grad, so that's really kind of difficult for me to share that, but I'm okay, because we're all believers in Christ, and so we give grace. And so answering your questions today here in the studio, Pastor Brian Broderson and Cheryl Broderson. The number to call right now with your question is 888-564-6173. We're looking forward to talking to you. Please give us a call. And we're going to go back out to Colorado and our friend Ernie, who spells it with an E. And
as most people do.
Yeah. All right. And hey, Ernie, are you back in a zone where we can talk to you?
I'm golden.
Okay, all right.
I like golden. That's a good word.
Nice, nice.
Hey, I have a side note here, a compliment. When I lived in California all my whole life, I would listen to Pastor's Perspective, right? And then one day I hear this guy, Brian Broderson, and this lady, Cheryl, right? And I'm like, I caught it a few times. And I'm like, wow, these two are amazing.
Aww.
Your father was alive, right? And then so I'd go to my friends. I was like, hey, have you ever heard these two talk, man? And that lady, Cheryl, she's not putting Brian down or nothing, but man, she knows her stuff. And my friend goes, yeah, you don't know who that is? And I'm like, no. And he's like, yeah, that's Pastor Chuck Smith's daughter. I'm like, oh, that makes sense to me.
That explained it.
To give you that compliment first.
Thank all you. Right.
That's, okay. Yeah, that's why we call her Cheryl, the real deal Broderson.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
There you go.
So Ernie, I was just in Colorado. Where's Morrison?
Morrison is if you're coming across I-70, it's as soon as you come down, you're right along the edge of the mountain right there by Lakewood.
Okay. I was in Longmont near Boulder.
West. No, that's way up there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm by the mountains.
Okay. Well, I could see mountains, but I wasn't in them.
Anyways.
What's up?
All right. So my question is, I'm trying not to make it long. Anyways, we've been doing Leviticus and all that in church or whatever, right? And really just finding a new church here in Colorado. But anyways, the pastor the other day brought up, just to have some deep conversation, he was bringing up, you know, what the Bible says on marriage, a man and a woman, da-da-da-da, all that. I can't quote you nothing, but if I heard him, I know him.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stick to my brain. And then he brought up about, are we a church that strive to be more like God, and are we inclusive, right? And I'm like, okay, where is he going with this? Right, and then he started talking about, are we inclusive with same-sex people? And this was to have a discussion in our Bible study group, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, well, in Bible study, I'm like, I don't think no church, even let's just say you went to a Mormon church, whoever church, I don't think no one's really standing out there with their hand out like, oh, wait a minute, who are you, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think most human beings are inclusive, right? So I'm trying to figure the difference between inclusive, and then one of the guys in the Bible study were talking, well, he's like, sin is sin, right? And I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, if you're not married and you're living with, you know, your girlfriend forever, and you're having sex out of marriage, is no different than having sex out of, you know, if you're two same-sex couples.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, but the difference is if I eventually figured out and the Holy Spirit got to me, and I said, hey, you know, this ain't right. Let me marry her because that's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, one of the other guys in the class said, hey, well, you know, I'm sort of, I don't know what you call that, where you're, I don't know if he's an online pastor or what, but whatever. He goes, if I had the opportunity, I would marry a same-sex couple. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, and I tried to have to zip my lip for a little bit because I don't know where I stand or if I'm going to word it right and offend anyone.
Yeah.
But then I started thinking, wow, is my church going down this road? And I'm not saying they are, but it awoken me to think I need a better perspective of if I can understand being inclusive to anyone and everyone, I'm that guy. I've never been to no one. But churches have rules, right? Like if your rules are you have to be baptized to come to my church, da-da-da-da, and I become a member, I'm not allowed to break those rules and still be a member without you calling me out. Same with the church. If the church is supposed to have a certain stance on marriage, that's my question, if you can read between my rambling.
Yeah, yeah.
There.
Yeah, we got it. We got you. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and I think the way it was worded from our call screener is good. Where's the line in regards to marrying them, involving them in church life? So we have an open door policy. Anybody can walk into our church. We want everybody to hear the gospel. We want everybody to come to know Jesus. And so we're welcoming in that sense. So let's just say a gay couple come into the church, and so we welcome them into the church. But we make it very clear that we see that as a relationship that God has prohibited, and so we can't honor it in the sense that we. You know, affirm it. That
we can that's affirm the people, but not the.
Yeah, that's the word now. Are you affirming? So, we don't affirm same-sex relationships, but we allow people to grow in time. So, if somebody, let's just say, there's again, you know, a couple that comes and they, you know, they're in process, they're giving their life to Jesus. And then they come and they say, well, you know, we love the church. We're happy to be here. We want to serve. We want to be involved. Well, at that point, we're going to have to sit down and say, okay, listen, you know, here's our position based on scripture. And therefore, if you want to take the next step in serving the Lord, you're going to have to make adjustments in your own life because you can't, you know, live in sin and simultaneously.
But we would say the same thing to a couple that
we would say it
to, adulterates.
Sure. Exactly.
You know, if a couple was living together
and
it was heterosexual, we would still have the same policy
standard.
Because our church, and as a church, we are under the authority of the Word of God and under Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So I think that's, you know, pretty much the crux. Are we under the authority of Jesus Christ? But I want to say that personally, I feel that my son did the best message on this. Ernie, if you want a little more clarity, my son spoke Sunday. His name's Char Broderson. He'll be on the program on Monday. But he did a message, and I can't remember. It was the image of God and sexuality.
Was that this weekend?
Yeah, on Sunday. Is that the name?
Yeah, it's on the website. Yeah.
It's on the website.
Yeah, cccm.com. You can find the message right there.
On cccm.com, because when someone talks really fast, I can't understand it.
Yeah.
So CCC, that's 3 C's, m.com. You can go back and listen to it, and it's excellent. And I think it will give you some clarity on this issue and even how to address and have a What would I say? A productive conversation on this area, in this area.
Yeah. And what you said, I think, is super important, and it is clarifying. This is not a rule that applies to just one
sin or one
type thing, of sexuality. It applies to all that the scripture says about. So, yes, if and this has happened many times before. We've had couples that have come. They're living together. They're in a process. God's working in their life. They might want to serve in some capacity. Well, look, you're going to have to get married before you're going to be able to qualify to step up to another level of service there. And then regarding the mentioning of the person online who said that he would perform a gay wedding, I don't think biblically you could justify performing a gay wedding. I think that you're uniting two people in a sinful relationship, and I wouldn't want to be doing that as a minister of the gospel. I think it would contradict what God's word says, and it certainly sends a confusing message to people. So I was talking to a friend of mine just the other day in Colorado, by the way, and he told me this just randomly. I don't even know how the topic came up, but he was telling me about he worked for the Navy, And he was telling me about his coworker was a young lesbian gal. And he was talking about how they just became great friends. They really were close to each other. And he said, funny enough, she was instrumental in him making the decision to leave his job and to go into ministry because he had had a ministry offer, but it was far below what he was currently making financially. So he was concerned maybe, you know, he wouldn't be able to do it. So he happened to mention to her that this offer was on the table. And she says, well, wait, I thought you're the one that told me about the God who provides and the God who has a will. And you know, how come you're even questioning this? So he said she was the catalyst for that, for him to make that decision. So anyway, to make a long story short, later on down the road, she is going to get married to her partner. And she comes to my friend and says, hey, you know, I really like you. You've been a great example of a Christian in my life, and I know you're a minister. Would you do our wedding? And he said, well, you know what? I really like you. I love you as a friend. He said, but I can't do your wedding because that would dishonor God. You know, I serve the Lord. You know my position. And her response was great. She said, you know, I knew you would say that, and I expected you to say that, and I totally respect you for saying that, because if you didn't say that, I would think, wait a minute, I thought you told me that you believed in this God and so forth. You know, so, yeah, people know. And even people, you know, living in that lifestyle, they know what the biblical standard is. So I think when Christians are compromising the biblical standard, they're not helping. They're actually just creating more confusion.
The consistency is what helped her.
Yeah, exactly. And his commitment to, well, this is what the Bible says. I love you as a friend. That has nothing to do with that. And she knew that. So, yeah.
So. All right. Ernie, thank you so much for calling in with your question today here on Pastor's Perspective. Brian and Cheryl Broderson are answering your questions. And I'll say the number slowly because sometimes I say it too fast because I might forget. It's 888-564. Yeah, I got that part right. 6173, 888-564-6173. Let's go back to the phones. And we have a call in from, is it E?
Oh.
E.
From Oklahoma.
Okay, from Oklahoma. Oh, okay, all right. All right, E, and how are you doing? And what's your question for Brian and Cheryl?
Well, I'm not doing too good, because if I was doing good, I probably wouldn't bother Brian and Cheryl.
Mm.
Hello, Brian. Hi, Cheryl.
I wish you would bother me, even if you're doing well.
Well, here's the weird thing. I've spoken to you guys a couple times, but I was in better situation. Where I rent, they went up on my rent almost $1,000.
Oh my gosh!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
San Diego, not Idaho. And so from that, I moved out, but I didn't really have a place to go, so I've been staying in my car.
Oh. Right? Yeah.
Inside of my job, inside my work parking lot, but I just recently found through an agency an apartment, but they won $1,000 also. And I'm thinking, when pastors in the past prayed together, they had groups that took them downstairs and showed them a room full of people praying for the same thing or similar things. I thought, well, wouldn't it be great if I could get a mask and not be a solo Christian? I don't want to be a solo Christian. I need help. I need prayer. And I know everybody does. I know the world is happy to have some big things happening right now. And I'm asking for something that probably feels a little bit measly compared to, but I guess I'm asking for prayer and why? How can I stop being a solo Christian?
Believer? And E, your concern is important, and you are important. You were made in the image of God. The Lord loves you so much, and you are His son, and He is your Father, and He has promised to meet your needs. And sometimes He does it miraculously and gives us this incredible testimony, like, I don't know how I got to this place except for God. And so, first of all, we'd really like to pray for you before we go on. And then we'd like to talk to you about a church family. So, Bri, you want to pray for E?
Lord, we do pray that you would just lead and guide and help and provide for E, and mostly, like Cheryl said, Lord, that he might know your deep love for him, that he might know that you are near when he calls upon you, that you are ready and willing and longing for us to call upon you, that you might work in our lives. So take away any condemnation or anything that would prevent him from doing that and remind him, Lord, that the access to you is there and available. The door is wide open through Jesus. So we pray that in the name of Jesus.
And provide the housing that is just perfect. Yeah. Provide for the rent. Provide all he needs according to your riches in glory. Mm-hmm. Take care of your child, Lord. Amen.
And E, do you have internet on your cell phone?
I do not have internet on my cell phone, and it's already the place that No, I don't. Just answer your question.
Okay. I was going to refer you to calvarychapel.com to find a church near you.
Yeah.
The church binder unit. I have that basically kind of like to the side because there's not one directly right here,
mm-hmm.
but it's kind of close.
Yeah.
And where I work, as soon as I move my Lincoln, the mechanic does not get along with me because he's envious of why am I staying here rent free, basically. And the owner is like, has a problem with me staying in my car, but that's not a good thing. I don't want to stay in the car.
Right.
And if I leave here right now and go to a place where a lady has rented me a room, when I come back to work on Monday, the mechanic has put a car that doesn't work in my parking space, thus making me sleep in my car in a more riskier situation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like marooning me on purpose and intentionally without the owner's intervention. It's just a fiasco. And I'm really panicking, but the Bible says not to have any frustration and to calm down.
Yeah.
Well, it says that you will be frustrated. I mean, you can't stop human emotion, but I can understand, like, it says be angry, but sin not, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So it's all right to say, Lord, this bugs me. And Father, will you do something about this and about these people? But I think, too, that you need to start getting an expectancy for God to actually work on your behalf. I mean, just call out to him as, I'm your son. Please, Lord, do something for your son. Secondly, I would say you need to find a church. You need a family. And you need people that you can be accountable. And, you know, a lot of those situations when you have a family clear up. You know, if you had your mom or dad or sister nearby, they would say, you know, come over. Don't do that. You know, even stay in my garage or something.
They would say that. And you know what, though? That's the weirdest part. My parents were married 56 years, and they were a great example of Christian parents. And I never saw this coming. I'm 52 years old. I'm a chocolate guy, and I'm trying not to panic and not to worry, but it feels sometimes like.
Oh yeah, of course you are, E.
Is there a church that you've been connected with recently?
Yeah, you know what's funny is a guy backed into my car. I have a green Ford Taurus that I call the Green Bean. And this couple backed into the Green Bean, and then they came looking to see whose car was. And from there, they invited me to church. And I went for like the last couple of years. But the church keyboard player there and his wife rented me the room. But then all of a sudden, they decided to split up. But he stayed there, so I had a chance to keep my room there. And then out of nowhere, like, he just raised the rent $1,000 because he said he could do it.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
I went from a decent amount.
Yeah.
I probably went right around your answer. I'm sorry if I did.
Well, you know, and just think back to that moment when you met those guys, you know, because they backed into your car and then that opened a door for you to have a place. And, you know, there's other people that the Lord might.
Yeah, because they weren't open. They weren't as open as they seemed. They were very cliquish.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to realize that that person is that person's cousin, who's that person's son, who married that guy's daughter. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the other thing is, too, if you have a church, usually they have a bulletin board. Like, we have we had a housing notebook where you could come in and find out. And, you know, if you said, look, I need a room, I can pay this much, and eventually I can pay this much. And, you know, sometimes, you know, that's how.
I'm in San Diego. I need a room. I could go up to $1,000 a month. It's about my ceiling.
Yeah.
Level. And, anyone who can hear it and wants to pray, pray for me. Add me into your prayers with all the other prayers for all the other
people. I think so, too. Yep.
Yep. The Lord's going to take care of you. Just keep trusting. Keep moving forward. But get plugged in. You know, get plugged in. If that church, you've been there a couple years, if that's a good place, great. If maybe it's time to move on to another fellowship. But, you know, the church is a family. And it's a community, and it's a place where people are meant to belong. And in that belonging, then you have brothers and sisters. You have people that look out for you. And you know, sometimes people can take advantage of other people, and so people are maybe a little suspicious, or they're not so anxious to help initially. But once they get to know you and they see you're trustworthy, then I think that'll open up some doors. So God bless. Good to talk to you today.
All right. Thank you, E, for calling in. And you're listening to Pastor's Perspective. Brian and Cheryl Broderson are answering your questions today at 888-564-6173. That's 888-564-6173. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Jab calling in from Oceanside. Hi, Jab. How are you doing this afternoon?
Good. It's not Jab. It's Jabe.
Jabe. Oh, sorry, Jabe.
Okay, that's two for you, Phil.
I am. One more strike and then I am out.
How do you spell it, Jabe?
That's okay. It's J-A-B-E. I was wondering if you guys knew about that.
Yeah, they dropped the E, so.
So, okay. You know. Jabe, I am so sorry. My apologies.
I want to thank you guys for all you do. You know, I've been a Christian my whole life. I kind of was a somewhat of a prodigal when I was younger, and I've, you know, rededicated my life to Jesus. And
great.
You know, we go to Carlsbad, North Coast Calvary in Carlsbad.
Yeah, we love those guys.
But,
yep.
You know, my name is Jabe, and my question really is about the prayer of Jabez. You know, my parents, when they had me, the doctor in 1970 was like, hey, you know, drop the Z, he's going to have enough trouble as it is with that name. So my name's Jabe, and I've only ran into a couple of them my whole life. But I guess my main question is there more than the prayer of Jabez that anyone knows? Why was that so important for that person to be named twice or in the Bible? You know,
yes.
You know, and to have it be such a big story, and is there anything more on it?
Yeah, that's pretty much all we have. But I love it that he's standout. He's a standout, and I think what it's saying is everything was poised against him. I mean, to be born with the name Son of My Sorrow. So obviously it was a terrible labor for his mother. And she kind of, you know, cursed him. And people would, in those days, they would name their child around the circumstances of their birth. So you've got Esau being named Harry. Esau means hairy because when he came out, he was covered in hair. And his brother Jacob, because he was reaching out and had clutched his brother's heel, was named Jacob, Jacob, or heel catcher, right? So then you've got later on, you've got Jacob has sons. He has 12 sons. And his youngest son, while his wife is in labor, Rachel, with him, she's in labor and she's dying. So she calls him again Benjamin, which means, you know, I mean, so Benoni, son of my sorrow, which is a name akin to Jabez. And right away, Jacob steps in and says, no, son of my right hand. He will not be called son of sorrow, but son of strength. And so with the name Jabez, I think Jabez hated that name and didn't want that reputation. So he called out to the Lord and said, don't let me be one who causes sorrow. You know, enough of that. You give me a nature like you want. So he was going against kind of the forecast, so to speak, of his life, because everyone's like, oh, Jabez, he won't amount to any good because of his name, because of the circumstances around his birth. And he's like, you know what? I will overcome all of this because I'm going to call on God, and we're going to see if the Lord will make a difference. And what you see is that God says, if you call on me, I will make the biggest difference. And so the name Jabez, instead of being associated with sorrow, becomes associated with God answering prayer and prosperity and peace. And so I love how God changes the nature, the very nature and of, you know, the forecast for our lives. I mean, I think about that kind of when it comes to Ephesians, but you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You're without hope. But God, who is rich in mercy. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole difference is God. And with Jabez, the whole difference is he prayed to God, he sought God, and God changed everything.
Amen.
Awesome. Amen.
Amen.
So you don't have to feel like I'm cursed. This is my background. This is how bad it's been. You know, all these things conspired against me. And you're not a victim. Through Jesus Christ, you're an absolute victor.
And your parents probably named
you. I'm happy to have that such a name, you know.
Exactly.
It's really played out like to the T. My mom really was, she almost like died having me. And it was just
there you
like,
go.
So weird how everything kind of fell in place. And now I have to take this role of taking care of my mom after my dad died. So it's just it's kind of like a fitting name that I just wondered if there was much.
It is. And now you're going to be like how Jabez was, too. A blessing.
Hey, all right.
You guys know what happened to Don Stewart? Is he ever coming back on?
I don't know.
No, he's not coming back on. But, I think he's fine. I haven't talked to him for a while. He does his whole online ministry now. Word and what is it? The World something. Yeah, I forget what the name of his program is. But I think he's doing fine. Yeah.
All right. Well, that will do it for us for today. Again, Brian and Cheryl Broderson have been in the studio today here on Pastor's Perspective, brought to you by Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, sponsored by Biola University, ranked as the most comprehensively Christian university in North America. I'm Phil Ross, son of mispronunciation. Take care.
Equipping the saints with sound biblical instruction. This is K-Wave 107.9.